fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing, playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
Welcome back to the finale of our Explorations Northern Ireland podcast season. It's a fried egg golf podcast we launched here in March of 2024. Just while we were on the road in Northern Ireland, Andy Johnson of the Fried Egg Golf, Cameron Hurtis of Fried Egg Golf, Matt Ruscius of Fried Egg Golf, and I'm your host, at least for today, Brendan Porath. We had really a trip of a lifetime. I don't say that lightly. I think, you know, a handful of us have played a lot of great golf courses, played a lot of, done some international trips, certainly not all of them. And, you know, this was one that we pulled together quickly. I think we didn't come out unscathed, came out scathed for sure with the, you know, we run ourselves ragged, you know, going and trying to create as much, not create, but capture as much as we can, experience as much as we can. I think a goal was not to impose our definitive take on or impression on the audience. Like, I think a lot of times you get when you go to some of these international destinations, an American will tell you, oh, well, this is how it is. This is the best. This is why it should be, why you should go here. And I use the word definitive. It's just our impression. We understand that we are simply visitors. And I think one of the goals of the day will simply talk about impressions we had with that understanding of we talked to a lot of people in advance. We heard from a lot of people. We tried to talk to as many while we were there, both golf and non-golf related, and really, you know, discuss some overall impressions. Obviously, you can read a lot of more specific stuff about each course in the journals and the newsletters. We all have them posted to the websites. And in this feed, we have sort of individual episodes dedicated to each course. But I think today we just want to discuss some general impressions, maybe eclectic 18, and answer some questions.
Hold on. We aren't talking about Chris DeMarco, because that's what I thought we were going to talk about.
As of this recording, Chris DeMarco, of all people, as a bellwether of where golf is in the world these days, is popping off. Chris DeMarco, the man of the moment in golf, as we discussed this in March 2024. Andy, let's go to you first. You're technically on a family vacation. That doesn't seem like one. What was more enjoyable, the family vacation or your trip to Northern Ireland? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. But
why you gotta pop me like that? Having a great time I took a 3.5-year-old to the Grand Canyon yesterday. I can't think of anything that could be more fun.
That doesn't sound super enjoyable, but you know, maybe it made an impression on you in one way or another. I guess what made impression.
What do you guys think about the Grand
Canyon? I mean, it's a hole in the ground. It's pretty grand. I don't know.
Big hole.
I feel like if you don't go like hike into it and make it like a big like camping thing, I feel like it's a little overrated because we drove around it and we stopped and we looked at it like 4 or 5 times. And it's just like, I think enjoyment.
It's too big.
I think it would be awesome if you went into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You got to get down in there.
We weren't going to get. Mean, you can.
Yeah,
you can. I don't think you can.
You can
with
hike
like
all
a,
the way through it.
You're not going to do it with a family. It's not a family trip.
I did it with my family. I hiked down there with my family. I was probably about 8 years old when I did it.
Interesting.
Wow. You think Matt, you could? No, you think you're... Matt? You think you could go down there with a 3.5-year old?
I could maybe carry a 3.5-year old down there.
All right, so instead of going broad, let's go real specific.
So for my personal enjoyment level, I'd probably lean on the Northern Ireland, but I know that most of my family's not going to listen to this podcast.
Let's go real specific then. Let's not go overall impressions. It feels like too big and wishy-washy a question that leads to a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. What was your favorite par 3 of the trip? Favorite par 3 of the trip. We played Royal County Down, Royal Port Rush, Castle Rock, Ardglass, Port Stewart, a couple short courses at both Royal County Down and Castle Rock. We've written about them. What was your favorite par three during our whole golf travels over about 10 days? Favorite par three.
Why don't you guys go? I'm gonna answer something different than I wrote in the newsletter. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You guys Matt, go first.
I think I know where Matt's going.
Yeah, there's two that kind of come straight to my mind when I think of my favorite par three. One would be number 7 at Royal County Down. And then the other is quite literally an opposite golf hole of that, would be 16 at Royal Port Rush. One's a very short kind of postage stamp like green where you have to be really accurate in the 7th at Royal County Down, and it has severe fall offs on just about 3 sides of the green. So you have to be really precise. And then 16 at Port Rush is just kind of a beast where you have to hit a really great long iron shot or wood shot into a relatively flattish green with an extremely severe fall off on one side. Both of them are, like I said, very different. I think if I had to pick one, I might go with 7 at Royal County Down, just because I love the way that it's kind of framed. It plays up on kind of a ridgeline of a dune. You're playing from kind of ridgetop to ridgetop. And just the way it's framed, there's like a small little bunker in the foreground. And then the green's partially kind of obscured by the dune on the right side. And it's just fun to try and hit a nippy little wedge shot to try and stick and hold that green, which is just tiny and has extremely severe fall offs. That's probably my favorite par three from the trip, with 16 being a very close second.
Yeah. You got the fall, the Morin Mountains in the background too. It's a pretty hole.
7, a subject of great discussion and intrigue, certainly on this.
Some
trip.
People hate especially it.
Rory. I mean, Rory talked about it, right? You know, the pampered Fs would hate it, but he still loves it, even though, what was the story? He tugged one like 60 yards left.
Yeah, down into 6 fairway.
Yeah, 6 fairway.
140 yard shot. He was, you know, 60 yards left of the target or something like that.
You and him could talk about alternate strategies on par threes. You on 16 at Port Rush, him on 7 at RCD, you know, setting up alternate hunting angles.
Hunting the angle. Yeah, absolutely.
Cameron,
I had some calamitous par threes. Cameron, what was your favorite par three from the trip? One shot.
I'm upset too, because Matt wasn't with us to play Castle Rock, but
at the Rock.
I think about that the Rock, but I think about the 9th hole a lot, actually. Maybe more than almost any hole on the trip. I'm not totally sure why, but I think the cool thing about it is it's not on the ocean. It's actually kind of hidden from like the hole. You can't really see it, honestly, from anywhere other than like when you get to the tee. But it's got like this cool little rock, like pond, just like random pond. And like there's an element of blindness to it still. Like you can't, you can basically hit it left. And there's these just awesome little mounds short left that will feed your ball in. I mean, it's like 220 yards. I hit punch driver. I think Andy hit 3-wood. I mean, it's just a beast, but it's one of the coolest sort of non-ocean settings, I think, on the entire trip. Just a cool hole.
Could you imagine playing like a match there, like back in the day, like a challenge match or something, and you have like just people lining the amphitheater of like looking down on that hole? That's the cool thing. It like there's this dune ridge that goes all the way around it. It could be like, it would be an amazing hole to watch golf on too.
Amazing hole. And again, it's a hole where I don't even remember where Brendan hit it. None of us hit good shots into the hole.
Left.
No. And yeah. Left. Wind was hard off the left. I mean, some of the most memorable holes on the trip for me were ones where any of us struggled to even keep the ball in play, but it was still just a blast to play those holes.
Andy, do you have a favorite par three that jumps off the map to you now? You wrote about some in the newsletter. Did you?
I wrote about 9 at the Rock. At the Rock. I'm going to go. I guess I'll go with if I was going to change. I thought the six at Port Stewart was really cool. Like an infinity green, just like kind of a volcano par three. And I just loved how from that tee box you could see into kind of like the dunes on the right, and to the left is the Ban River. I believe it's the Ban. I feel like we've gotten qualified.
It's not Bon. It's Ban.
It's not Bon.
It's Ban. Oh, okay.
It's not Bon Me. It's not the Bon Me River. It's the Ban River.
Yeah.
I think so. But anyways, on that tee, you've just played like, you know, like some crazy holes. I mean, 1 through 3 is like out of this world. The dunes are so big. Then 4 is a great hole. I really loved 5 at Port Stewart with the two dunes that kind of sit in front of the green. And then you turn back around on 6. And I think it's just a really cool hit it or else short par 3. And you see up through to 4 green. I think you could see the ocean from there, right?
I think so.
Maybe. From the tee. Maybe see the ocean from the tee to the right. And then you got the river to the left. It's just like a really cool setting. And you're kind of like at the midpoint of this like crazy front nine. And you're just, it gives you time to look back on the holes. And then you also can see what's coming ahead.
I think one thing that's a theme of this discussion that I keep thinking about is these threes all seem to come in sort of incredible stretches of golf, right? They stand out amidst like 4 and 5, whether it's 16 at Dunluce or 7 at RCD, 9 at Castle Rock is in this incredible stretch, right? Of starting like 6, 7, you know, all the way up through 10. I don't know if that says anything about why they stuck with this, but maybe it's like a piece of a larger six pack or some sort of change of pace within like an incredible stretch. I don't know if that does that make any sense?
One thing I thought about just now, and it tells you how many great par threes there are, but maybe the greatest set of par threes is on the Ansley course, honestly. And we didn't talk about any of them.
Yeah, those are amazing like, par threes.
Yeah, I thought you were going to pick 13. Stretch.
Yeah, 13 is like, I mean, it's like a hole you'd see at Pacific Dunes or something. And then it's immediately followed by another par three where you hit across a huge chasm. Like, I think the third hole is an amazing par three. 7's a great par three. Yeah, I mean, just like you can really pick almost any out there.
You know what was interesting? I feel like when we were playing Royal County Down, one of you guys asked what it reminded, if it reminded you of any other course, and we said Pacific Dunes. I feel like that was kind of the general consensus. I was looking around for some information on the golf course. I was on Golf Club Atlas, and I saw that Tom mentioned, I think in a thread, that his inspiration for Pacific Dunes was largely Royal County Down.
Wow.
Kind of amazing.
Why does it?
Similar set. It just got like similar visuals, I feel like. The way the land, I mean, the way that golf course kind of it gets a little bit more on the coast, but the way the visual identity of both of them is very similar.
Yeah, the scale of the dunes. I feel like Pacific is sort of a mix between the big course and the Ansley course a little bit. I remember having that discussion though. It's a good comp.
I will. I'll throw my hat in the ring for 16. We don't need to elaborate why, but just for the sake of completeness here.
One thing I was thinking about. Go ahead. The other night, you know, this is the demented brain. I think it was before I went to sleep. I started thinking about how a match play would go between Royal County Down and Port Rush, and I think Port Rush wins pretty big.
What do you mean by match play? Hole one.
If you went like one versus one, 2 versus 2, because like Port Rush wins the last 5, like pretty handily, or last four, at least. Like it's 15, 16, 17, 18. And I think there's enough great holes on the front nine of Port Rush to have some pushes and wins like 5 and 6.
Yeah. 5 and 6 win at Port Rush, right? I mean, 4 four's a that's a tough matchup too, honestly.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, most people do the how would you split 10 rounds thing, or we'll do eclectic 18 maybe at the end of this, but you just demented brain match play at night is a different way to look at it. I mean, man, it's hard. Like, does RCD, like, the first 13, 14 holes, I mean, is the finish that bad, or is the start that good that it sort of raises the bar to a level that's hard to maintain?
I think the problem with RCD's finish is that it just doesn't fit with the rest of the course. Like the 18th hole is extraordinarily over bunkered comparison to the rest of the golf course. The 17th hole has the sand scrape that is, there's no other sand scrapes on the golf course. And I think 17 is actually a really good hole. Like the green's really cool. I think the question off the tee, do you play back and keep up high, or do you bomb it down to the bottom and get like the downslope? I think 17 is a very good hole. I don't think 16 is very good. Again, like the bunker scheme and the way it's presented, it just doesn't fit with the rest of the course. And I really like 15. So to me, there's only really two weak holes. But when you're, I think it's just like, it's hard because those two holes really don't fit with the rest of the course. It's like, and that's the one struggle with it. But like, again, the first 13 holes, I mean, I would say the first 15 holes, I don't think there's another golf course with 15 holes that can like really match it in terms of greatness.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely think that it just like the front nine is just so good. And it's like, you're starting out at the top of a mountain with this incredible view. And then you're just kind of hiking downwards the entire time, where it's just kind of slowly getting a little bit worse and worse from where you started. And that kind of adds to the feeling of, I guess, like being not deflated, but like the end of the round just kind of falls flat when you're finishing on 18 there, when you just started your hike through these like majestic dunes. So I think that kind of adds to the reason why the ending feels so poor, when in actuality it's only one or two kind of weak golf holes, and the other ones just kind of don't really compare to the scale of the front nine.
Yeah, it is too. The bunkers on 18T, and then you guys obviously had some issues with 16. I'll sort of dovetail that with the Annesley discussion. I still can't
pronounce Annesley.
Annesley course.
I think it's Annesley.
Cameron shouted out the par threes there. Does a short course, what does that do for your overall like appreciation, impression, takeaway from all of our seats? Like, did you walk some of that, the wee course, and think like, well, some of this should maybe be incorporated in the big course? Or do you just look at it as the total package, the 36 hole? For Castle Rock, similar. What did the wee course do for your general impression of a facility like that? Or are you looking at that land like, should some of this be for 16 or 18 or whatever it may be on the big course?
I mean, if you think about Royal County Down, if you incorporated two holes around that big dune that is the most dramatic part of the Annesley course, it's like the 9th, 10th, 11th around this dune. If you put two par fours or a par five and a par four around that dune, and that could alleviate your finishing stretch, it would be pretty incredible. But I think that, I think with the case of Castle Rock and Royal County Down, you could create a better 18 hole course if you use some of the land from both of the week courses, but you would have a worse facility. The facilities, the whole package of the place would be diminished if you took away from the week course. I don't know how everybody else feels.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like a fun debate. It's not to get overly critical, right? And I think this was some of the issues, right, with the Valley course and the Port Rush. What do you take from that to really try to host an open championship, right? It's like a fun, it's not fun, but it's an interesting question. And it kind of speaks to the riches that all these kind of properties have. Cameron, did you want to jump in?
I mean, personally, I felt like the Ansley course, I mean, it's an incredible second 18. And even with the new holes, I mean, I feel like it works on its own. There's sort of a natural barrier too with the dune behind number 3 and 4 at the big course that just sort of naturally separates the two courses. I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting debate. You can always talk about holes. I mean, composite courses are obviously used around the world for certain situations, but I would not want to mess with, especially with the new holes, the Ansley course at all. I think having a great 36-hole facility is better than trying to sort of create the best 18 for play.
Yep. I think that don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like all that, the constant chase, yeah. Like and routing, and you end up creating issues you didn't.
Plus, they're just fun debates to have at the end, right? Like you can talk about it. It doesn't mean anything needs to change.
All right. Speaking of debates, a lot of you guys have played a lot of great golf courses. You've done some international trips. You know, Cameron, you've been to Australia. We've done Scotland. We have not seen everything in the world. Far from it. What stood out to you about this trip compared to some of the other great golf you've played, compared to some of the great international trips you've played? I don't want to say it was better or worse. Don't want to need to get into that necessarily, but what was distinct? What stood out to you about this specific trip to Northern Ireland, with the two obviously main pillars being, you know, Royal County Down and Royal Port Rush? What stood out about this trip? Cameron, you want to jump? Go for sure. That? Or okay.
Sort of to steal a term that Andy uses a lot, but I think it's a very achievable trip. Northern Ireland's not a huge country. When you look at a place like Scotland, I mean, just the concentration of courses, like within some of the towns, Gullen, Troon, St. Andrews, like you can plan. I think the cool thing about a Northern Ireland trip is the highs are maybe some of the highest highs you'll have anywhere in the world. And ultimately, you should still have time to like do other stuff while you're there. I was a little bummed we didn't get to drive the whole Causeway Coast, but like theoretically, you should be able to make time to sort of like do some of these other activities while you're there while still playing. I mean, you know, some of, like I said, some of the highs are just like as high as you're going to get anywhere in the world.
I think that's a big thing for me with this trip in comparison to Scotland. I think it could serve as a hardcore golf trip. But I also think that this trip is really good in terms of like, hey, I could be with my family, I could play a couple rounds of golf, and then there's so much other stuff for us to do. And I do think like that versus going to like St. Andrews. St. Andrews would be great to bring your family to, but it wouldn't have nearly as many offshoot activities of like, I think just that Causeway Coast is spectacular, right? And I think when you get up to that part of the world, like the surfing culture, I thought the food was really good. So I think like that aspect of it, there's a little bit more to do in terms of outside of golf.
But if you're going to be a golf sicko, you could go in the summer and play 30. I mean, we'd skipped a bunch of courses, if we're being honest. Like, there is the possibility, like, you could play 36 a day quite easily and do nothing else. So either option is available to you.
My biggest regret is like not playing Ballyreg and the old course at Port Rush, those two little courses that like you drive between Port Rush and Port Stewart, and there's these two golf courses that occupy a 50-foot cliff in the ocean. I don't think they would win any design.
That old course, I was looking at it awards, yesterday.
But
That old course I was looking at it yesterday, it was like, whatever, 4,800 yards or something, 50, somewhere in there, somewhere in the 5,000 yard range. So on top of these cliffs, and didn't look particularly crowded, could burn a couple hours there, get around.
So, I also think the thing we didn't do, the thing we didn't do is we didn't just connect the north. And I like, if you want to make a really great golf trip, and probably the area of Ireland I'm most interested in going to see next is the Northwest in Donegal, County Donegal, which is like right next to Northern Ireland. If you wanted to make a really big trip, doing the courses in Northern Ireland and connecting it with Donegal would be really easy. And I think that's how you could make, like, if you wanted to do a 10-day, like, 2 rounds a day golf trip, that would be epic. And you know, it would be, I think, like, one of the things that I really liked about the trip we made is that I feel like it was a very authentic experience in terms of people and places. It didn't ever feel super touristy, and I really appreciated that about it. It could have also been part of the time of the year that we went where there wasn't a lot of visitors. But like it did feel like we got kind of like an authentic experience.
Yeah. One tip people keep asking me, like people keep asking, like, what are your tips? What are your recommendations? Like, and you don't want to like consider yourself an expert, but I would maybe like suggest a potential shoulder season type trip. I mean, we kept looking at some of the rates, the weather could be bad in July as it could be in April or late September, October, whatever they define as shoulder season, look it up, I kind of enjoyed, I know it wasn't ideal weather condition, but the authenticity of being in town when it's not jammed necessarily with tourists was an appeal to me. And if you're looking, I know it's hard to get tee times and, cost can be an issue. Like maybe that's something to at least explore or try to dabble with if you were to look at it. Matt, what about some of the great golf that you've played? You've worked at some incredible courses. What stood out to you about, really, this was your first big links trip? What stood out?
Yeah, so it was my first time kind of going overseas to an international kind of golfing destination. And I've been thinking a lot about the trip in general since coming back and just kind of reminiscing on it and thinking a lot about it. And I feel like the biggest thing that I realized is how incredible the quality of golf is across every single course we played. Like not one of those golf courses I would have wanted to like miss or skip over. Like every single one of them is so good and has such quality golf holes and good turf. And just like the entire package as a whole of each of these golf courses is so good. And each one of them is so unique from one another, despite kind of occupying very similar types of landscapes, but they all feel so different and offer something different at each one. Like the difference between Port Stewart and Royal County Down is like so big, but also they're very similar in like the magnitude of their dunes. And I feel like most golf trips you go on, like there's always one or two courses you're like, oh, that one wasn't as good. Like maybe we took carts there and drank a few extra beers or something because the golf wasn't that great. But when you're going to Ireland, like I feel like almost any golf course you play there is just going to be an incredible experience and something unlike you're going to ever find in the United States.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think about Castle Rock a lot in that vein. It's like where it was kind of like, I feel like we thought of it as kind of like, okay, well, we're here, we'll play Castle Rock. And then we got there and I was like, oh my God, like, look at these dunes. And again, that stretch, we talked about it in the podcast about Castle Rock, but the stretch of really like 6 through 10, 11 was out of this world good. The 17th was an epic, epic hole. The Wee course was so much fun. And it's like, that day alone, like if you just did 27 at Castle Rock, you'd feel very fulfilled. And you would have gotten an experience that you wouldn't get in America.
Yeah, I think one thing we keep getting is like, what do you wish, what was a big regret, or what course would you skip if you went again? And like, the answer I'm pretty sure is we wouldn't skip. Like, that we have no big regrets about what we did. And this is not BS. Maybe there was a pizza place in one locale we weren't crazy about.
I'm trying to be honest as possible here.
It was
hard to get in. I don't know what all the rage was about. Everybody recommended it. We'll just throw it out there. It was Villa Vici.
Yeah.
It was in Newcastle. We got to put it out there. Yeah, we can't just, was, you know, this, it was, it, everybody recommended it.
Highly recommended. Yeah. By like 15 people said to go there, and we didn't, I don't know. It didn't work for us. Maybe it was the day and time we went. That was, but in terms of golf, there wasn't like, oh, I wish we hadn't played this or done this time some other course. The regret is, you know, we should have, I would love to try out that par three course on the cliffs, Ballyrig, or Bushmills. I know Cameron wanted to get to Bushmills, which is so close. Bushfoot is the nine hole or attached to Bushmills. So I don't know. I always strike this balance between like aim small, miss small. Like if we walk away feeling like every time, every course we played was well spent, that's good, right? Like, and I got back and someone was like, someone locally here in DC sent me a note about he's got this trip plan and he's going to East Lothian and then up to Fife and then across to Turnberry and then ferrying over to Northern Ireland and try to rip. I was like, I mean, that sounds amazing. You're hitting every course, but it also sounds anxiety inducing and exhausting, and whatever, being a box checker is for some people like, you know, fine, and it doesn't sound sustainable to me. But I loved how I came out of this trip feeling like I didn't blow a half day on a course I, you know, did wish I had seen something else. I think that's not BS. We all feel that way.
I also just am such a big believer in being somewhere for a few days. I mean, like I really appreciated that we got to spend a significant amount of time in Port Rush, Port Stewart area, and really like explored that area. I just think that when you set up shop, it just makes your trip so much more enjoyable because you're not spending time driving. You know, you're taking it's a 25-minute drive to Castle Rock, and then you're back to Port Rush. Or if you stayed in Port Stewart, it'd be a 20-minute drive to Castle Rock, and then you're back, and you have time. Like especially if you're there in the summer, you know, you could go do a Bushmills tour in the middle of the day, and then you could go play a 6 o'clock round at Castle Rock, and that can be your day. And when you're just trying to like. I think what you said, Brendan, about achievable is something like if you live in the eastern half of the United States, getting to Ireland is so easy. And it's, I mean, like you can fly from where I live, San Francisco, to there and back for like $450 on Aer Lingus direct. And like you can do that. And it's like you can do a couple of these trips. The customs is super easy. Everybody speaks English, which is super easy. It makes it really easy to like just do these trips. It is not a hard trip to do, and you could do different areas every time you go. You don't have to run around and do all the courses at once. And I think that's the thing about the trip is in general and getting to experience different areas. I think like the one of the things about this is the pocket of concentration of great golf courses especially in the Port Rush, Port Stewart area where you have all these courses. You have the two at Port Rush, you've got Port Stewart, you've got Castle Rock, you've got the band course at Castle Rock, you've got all these other small courses. You can go there and spend a week and it's like, you know, it's easy versus like some other parts of all the UK, you're going to be driving 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes from one hub. I think that's one of the magical things about that the part of the Northern Ireland is just the concentration of courses.
Anecdotally, I think it's been harder to find a cost-effective, friendly flight to Augusta the last few weeks for me, from DC to Augusta, than it was to get to Dublin. I don't know why. It's just,
well, I think I they're mean, price gouging you.
Well, not even that. I'm like, Colombia is no longer, I don't know. It's just been like, geez, I went to Ireland for, it was simpler. All right, I put a call out for questions. I think we'll hit on some larger topics as we answer a couple of these. This is from Cole Kahn. If you had to do a trip that mostly focused on the inexpensive courses and one big boy, which I think is Portrush RCD, where would you go? I think my first response to that would be the first one you could get on, because I mean, it's not always easy. And if you can get on one, that's where you book. If you're planned out advance enough, you can book both, of course, do that. But I guess if you had to do,
I think this is also like
big boy, what would you go?
I think this is also, I think the question is like all the aisles, right?
I think he's focused on Northern Ireland. I think. You know, yeah, the trip that we just did, but not being able to do either or both. What would you do?
I probably would do the Portrush area.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a good question. I mean, it's getting at the, have you had to split 10 rounds? It's a fun debate. What are, well, you're going to, I just, wherever you can get a time.
The areas, I think it's a, that'd be an area I'd want to spend a lot of time in. And then I think there are more small courses around there, cheap, you know, like the Ballyreg, the old Port Stewart Old, the Bushfoot. Like there's a lot of like cheap golf courses you could play there.
And I got to shout out Derry, like Londonderry. Like we did not make it over there, and we were in Dublin on our way out of town, and a couple of Dubliners told us like it's a cool spot. Like, and they were like, all the people we talked to, and we didn't talk to a ton in Dublin, I wouldn't say they were quick to call Northern Ireland like the hottest spot, like full of hot spots to go to. Maybe like a Chicagoan might look down at a Clevelander or something like that. they threw out Derry, Londonderry, as like, that is a cool place. And then when I realized we were more or less 30 more minutes past Castle Rock, I kind of wish we had done that. So like Andy, speaking to Andy's point of kind of camping up north, it feels like there's a lot of options to go shoot off of.
Yeah, I would just be remiss with a budget trip. Like, I think it's becoming tougher to do some of these trips on a tight budget because the greens fees are going up. And I think, like, listen, like the greens fees are going up because of supply and demand. Like, I do not at all hold any contempt to these golf courses that are charging more. If they charge more and the people come and pay it, that's good for them and their business. Because like, I think one of the things that I really love about golf in the British Isles and in Ireland in general is the way that a local club is a local club there. Like the cost and who can be a member at a local club is like basically anybody, because the cost is not prohibitive. And the way they do that and accomplish that is through visitor revenue. But I would be remiss if you're talking about budget, is like, you just have to, I think like finding the more far flung areas of the various islands is where you're going to get the budget, the real, like the cheaper rates. Like I think Northern Ireland is more affordable than the west coast of Ireland. And obviously they have less visitors there. Donegal is going to be more affordable than western part of Ireland. You know, the golf courses in the Highlands of Scotland, in the northern part of Scotland, is going to be more affordable than St. Andrews or East Lothian, because it's just a little bit tougher to get to. But I think when you go to the places that are less touristy, you're going to get more authentic experiences. And the golf is just as good.
Yep. Speaking of that, one more question from Sandy. Outside of the golf, what did you find most and least surprising about the country? I'll just reduce that to surprising. Outside, non-golf, what surprised you about the visit? Matt, do you feel up for answering that first? Non-golf, what kind of surprised you about the trip? You're a cultured young chap, I would say. But what surprised you about the visit, non-golf-wise?
I'd say just a couple of like the cultural things. Like, the amount of people walking outdoors in nature on like a 40 degree, like gray drizzling day was like pretty astonishing to me. Like in kind of the end of their winter there. And there's just so much people outside, you know, walking on the beach, enjoying just the natural landscape of Ireland, which is just beautiful. And like you have these amazing seaside cliffs and then like the rolling countryside, the dunescape, the beaches, like it's a pretty eclectic like landscape that they have outside of the golf courses. And I just thought it was like, it kind of made me jealous that I didn't have something similar or like the ambition to go do stuff outside when the weather is pretty poor. And I think that's probably just a reflection of kind of their lifestyle there, where the weather isn't the greatest in the world there. So they just have to kind of make what they can out of what they have. And I just thought it was really fascinating to see people walking their dogs and just enjoying their natural landscape, even when the weather was pretty poor by our standards.
Yeah, I mean, in March, it was vibrant. Like, we got sort of this preface from the Dubliners, like we were going up to Siberia and there's not gonna be a gas station. Like, it's nothing like that. And I don't know, everybody's out and about in it, even if the weather, it's in March. Cameron, surprising or enjoyable things non-golf for you from the trip?
I mean, well, first off, I think it says a lot about the place that most of what I think about is like regrets, places that we didn't get to go to, because there was a lot, honestly. But I don't know, not to throw like East Lothian under the bus, but the coffee options up there were really like, they're phenomenal. There was actually some great coffee, and I know we missed a few, honestly, but between Newcastle and Port Stewart, and yeah, I mean, like you're at the end of the world, but there's some good coffee up there, no doubt.
It does seem like the Australian trend is like trying to break through up there. Is that fair to say? Of like a consideration and cultivation.
That's sort of the
that's what the railway guy said.
Right? Yeah. Always going after the Australian coffee scene, which is not a bad one to copy.
Yeah. I mean, Port Stewart, they said there are more coffee shops than houses. Like we found one, we found one and stuck with it, lost and found. Like we weren't deviating from it because it was so good. But yeah, there were a million recommendations for coffee shops in Port Stewart ahead of time. Andy, something that surprised or you enjoyed non-golf wise?
The whole Causeway Coast is just incredible. I mean, one of the most beautiful places in the world. So I think we spent a little bit of time. We did the Giant's Causeway, which was really cool. I could have hiked a lot longer there. I'm a big person. I really like hiking. I like trail running. I saw people trail running through the sand dunes. I felt very jealous and very envious of them in that time. You know, they're kind of like running along the dunes that Port Stewart's in, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. But just the whole in totality, I think that Causeway Coast, I saw pictures, I thought it'd be beautiful. It was more beautiful than I expected. You know, people travel to San Francisco to do a drive down to Los Angeles. Like, that is something people do. I don't think it's crazy to travel there to spend time on that Causeway Coast, because it's absolutely stunning. The drive's amazing. The towns that you can stop along the way, there's hotels that just sit on top of these cliffs. I mean, you want to talk about like just a non-golf thing. Like, I think you'd love like doing a trip just along that coast without golf.
Yeah. We are golf nuts, but I think we found ourselves more, whether it was in our glass, remember in our glass, and Andy's like, I wish we should stay a night. I wish we could stay a night here and actually do more of the village of our glass on top of the round we had in the morning. I don't know. We felt ourselves, and that was, you know, the push and pull, or you guys are trying to film and shoot the courses, but like wanting to spend much more time in a lot of these towns and driving along some of these coasts. All right, we have Eclectic 18. We're not going to hash through that right now, but that's going to be our last and final journal, the Eclectic 18 exercise from this trip. We mentioned the courses. Are there certain spots on this eclectic 18 you think are going to be knockdown, drag them out fights? I know Andy has suggested the Finit, you know, he's talking about a head-to-head match play with two of the courses. You know, we're going to throw in Ardglass, we're going to throw in Port Stewart, Castle Rock, and just create an eclectic 18. Of course, Dunluce Links and RCD will predominate, I would imagine, out of that. Are there certain spots where you think we post this are going to create the most vigorous debate? Which holes are the biggest heavyweight battles? Nine, it feels like that's nine. Going to RCD, even though there were some great nines. We talked about our favorite part three being nine at Castle Rock. Yeah.
The Rock.
But it's, you're going to go up against, you know, Muhammad Ali in that.
I mean, so, yeah, just think about like hole five.
Yeah.
I love the fifth at RCD. I love the fifth at Port Rush. I you know, the fourth hole is another good one. That's arguably the best hole at Ardglass. And you're up against, you know, the fourth at RCD, the fourth at Port Rush. I mean, there's so many good number fours. And then you've got, what about the fourth at Port Stewart? Like, that's the thing that always gets forget is that whole front nine at Port Stewart's like unbelievable. The whole front, four, you know, stacked. You're talking about, yeah, you're talking about like the battle of two of the best front nines in all of golf with Port Stewart and RCD. And it's going to be in the mix. And then you sprinkle in some other great holes, like the first at Ardglass is like an absolute thrill ride first. I think that's like a hard one to beat. But, you know, you got the first at Port Stewart, the first at RCD, you know, others.
I thought first was a hard one, too. I mean, a lot of people would say RCD, but like Port Stewart, they talk about that tee box and you're just going right away into the dunes. Ardglass, like getting hit by sea spray and the greens. Well, first feels like to me like it's a tough choice. Any that jump out to you, Matt, that might be kind of subject of the most debate?
I think four is probably like the most stacked.
Yeah.
If you were to compare all the courses we play, like there's an argument for every single fourth hole that we played on this trip. I think another one, might be 10. I feel like 10 at Dunluce is really good. 10 at Ansley is really good. A lot of good ones. Castle Rock, I know you guys talked a lot about
10 at Castle Rock.
Castle Rock may be my favorite hole out there.
Yeah,
so there's definitely, I think, a few holes that are going to have some really tough competition, and then there's going to be kind of quite a few that I think there's going to be one clear winner, so I'll be interested to see kind of where it comes out.
What are two of those where Alabama's playing like the cupcake, you know, the low double A? I mean, Royal County down ninth hole is going to win the ninth hole.
But there's, yeah, there's
Dunluce,
stout. I mean,
16th?
Dunluce 15. Ahead, Dunluce 15.
Yeah, 15, 16.
Right. Those seem like they're locks. It's just going to be hard to beat. So we'll hash it out. Any jump out to you, Cameron, like that you know that we haven't already mentioned? I mean, it feels like.
I was sort of going through this morning. I think actually the interesting thing to me was how few off the bat of the RCD holes were like clear winners outside of nine. Honestly, there's a lot of competition between the courses. I think, right. You know, RCD, like the front nine stretch is incredible. Can any of them go up head to head versus some of the other holes? I think it's an interesting debate, honestly.
Right. It's crazy. I was reading Tom's confidential guide. It's like, you know, there's some debates about this being the best nine hole stretch at wherever, Pine Valley, at Cypress, but surely it is the front nine at Royal County Down is the best. And like, of course, in totality. And now, but when you get into this kind of exercise, it's like, well, like none of them are like for sure the winner when you go up against this field, besides maybe nine. So
I think the winner, one standout outside of nine, I feel pretty strongly about this, is third hole.
Yeah, that was
that one to me is the one that's like a slam dunk among all the other ones is number three. Like that hole is freaking epic.
Yep.
For sure.
Well, we will sort of finalize these, you know, with probably not a absolute clarity and certainty, but we have to post the journal and we're going to make a choice for each one. We'll post that at the end of this week here before, I don't know, before the end of the month, before the end of the March. So any other final thoughts and takeaways? Just like, I don't know, we've really enjoyed doing this podcast. We really want to do it again. We found this to be, we put this together quickly, but we found this to be like an awesome first trip for this explorations experiment. Andy, final takeaways or thoughts from you on the trip?
I didn't like that you said this was the end of this season of explorations. What if we decide to fire it up 2 weeks from now?
We can. We absolutely can. Maybe like,
I don't like you labeling things.
Does Rory want to come on and correct the record about Guinness being shit or something? Yeah, maybe there will be another episode.
Maybe we'll do a hole by hole breakdown of Quail Hollow versus RCD.
We'll do a full Guinness recap. we could do Quail Hollow when that comes around in May. Maybe it's not the end, but we wanted to do a more general overview as we got to the end of it. So we appreciate you guys all listening, indulging, reading. We will have continued reels, continued photographs being posted to our Instagram accounts. Go ahead.
Can we do one thing real quick? What was the worst shot that everybody hit on the trip? What was the worst shot?
The worst shot.
I think mine was just a worst hole. The, what was it? The ninth hole at Port Rush. I went drive into the rough, hacked it out into the bunker, took like two, maybe three shots from that bunker, and then hit like a 80-yard wedge shot, like 15 yards short of the green. And it was just like, I was in the doldrums there on the ninth hole. It was just a horrible hole. Easily my worst hole from the trip, I think. And Cameron has it on video, so there's evidence.
That's true. Both bunker shots. I hit a couple smother hook drives. one was my first drive on the ninth hole at RCD, which... we found the ball, and then I immediately hit it into the gorse and lost it. So that was a good one.
I would say my entire round at the Ansley course was my worst. I got bageled in skins, and I was just—I hit every single shot left. It was just a day of hitting it left, and the wind was so strong, I had no clue which way the ball was going to go. I finally hit one. Actually, I knew where it was going. It was going left and further left. And I think I lost balls on like six straight holes.
Yeah, you lose balls. You lose balls. Definitely out there. It happens. I'd probably say the drive, not at 16 because I've done this because that created a memory. I'm glad I chunked off the turf there and down in the valley. Slice chunk. I think there was a drive at Castle Rock when we turned back at six. I think I just topped one just, you know, 60 yards off into like the waist high junk and then reloaded and continued to make like a seven or eight or something. That was a bad stretch there. So there were options though. Great trip. Amazing trip.
That was seven at Castle Rock. My tee shot, I think I hit it into the Ban River. It was so far right. It had to be like 300 yards right of the target.
I mean, Rode the wind.
That was a horrible tee shot. I guess.
Horrible shots, enjoyable rounds.
Look for a tee shot, you know it's bad. Out there, like it's like most of the time drives are contained in some area there and you're looking through maybe some tall grass when you don't even go look for one.
All right, that does it for this episode, maybe not the season of explorations. We appreciate you guys listening, reading, watching. Subscribe to the Instagram. We'll have some more videos on YouTube. I know we've done some interviews. We still have banked for that. So really appreciate you guys. We got a lot of good feedback on that. And honestly, if you guys have any questions about this trip or it feels daunting or what do I do? How do I start? I think we'd be happy to try and reply honestly and get back to you. So if any of you guys reach out, we'll try to get back to you on the various platforms. But thank you all for your support and feedback. We will be back again with explorations. Maybe Northern Ireland, maybe somewhere else, but we will be back.